T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Joe Benigno and Evan Roberts on The Fan.
Joe and Evan, Evan and Joe, on WFAN Sports Radio. If you want to be in the New York, no, gotta go to Joe and Evan, Evan and Joe. 66 on your AM dial, 101.9 FM, Joe and Evan.
And good morning to you. The midday program, Joe Benigno, Evan Roberts. We spoke to Joe yesterday. He's doing well. Doing well. He's recovering from a little eye procedure, and he has confirmed tomorrow he'll be here at 10 a.m. We had a nice conversation about the Jet draft, about the Ranger debacle, about the Metsies. Got a lot to get to today. We'll talk to Dr. Arun Rajaram to break down this Noah Syndergaard injury debacle, if you will. The great Tom Verducci, one of the best baseball guys out there, he'll join me later on as well. And, of course, a lot of your telephone calls. You know, the Yankee part of the season is very interesting right now because, you know, baseball is a game of streaks in a way. Every bad team is going to have their winning streaks. Every good team is going to have their losing streaks. And, you know, a big part of the year, you're a 500 team, and it's those hot streaks and losing streaks that separate you. I'm not concerned about the Yankees quite yet. They've only lost two in a row. So I don't think there should be any kind of panic with them. But I do think that when you have an extended run that the Yankees pretty much had, and I had a really good run of games. They won the eight in a row. They lost two out of three to Pittsburgh, but they bounced back against Boston and Baltimore. They then won four in a row. But it's how you play when all the winning ends, when the breaks stop going your way. And so, not really talking about last night as much, but I'm kind of talking about tonight. Not a big game in May, but a game with your ace on the mound in Masahiro Tanaka against a guy in Matt Latos, who's now become a journeyman, bouncing around the league. Luis Severino struggles yesterday. The Yankee offense, which had exploded over the course of those two games against the Orioles, scoring 26 runs, they've cooled off over the last couple of days. And really, they've cooled off because they can't get the big hit. I mean, that's why they cooled off. They cooled off on Sunday, where they scored four runs, including the rally in the ninth inning, but they left a billion guys on base, and they failed to get the big hit. And that was really the problem last night against a very underrated pitcher in Marco Estrada. And look, Luis Severino wasn't great either. You know, Severino was falling behind hitters, and I think that was his biggest problem. He wasn't quite as sharp, certainly a far cry from what we saw in Boston a little less than a week ago. But this is where it's a big part of your season. Because they had the big run. They won the eight in a row. No one saw it coming. They even respond by playing really well against the Boston Red Sox and winning a series against the Baltimore Orioles. And now you look at this part of the schedule, a Blue Jay team that is kind of on the other end, right? They're the opposite of the Yankees. They got off to this dreadful start. And now, even with all the injuries they have in their lineup, they're starting to play a little bit better. You got to deal with the Chicago Cubs, the defending world champions, who did lose last night to the Phillies. Yeah, then you got the Reds, and you have the Astros, an Astro team that I think is the most talented team in the American League. So I think this is a very interesting part of the season for this Yankee team to kind of get an idea. Was that start 15-7 at one point before these last two games? Was it a fluke? Was it a complete mirage? Or can the Yankees right the ship? And I think it starts today when you got your best pitcher on the mound. I think that's where it happens. And I'll tell you something else that's going to start to get louder and louder and louder. And that's Greg Bird. It's going to get louder because when you're winning, and we touched on it a little bit yesterday, when you're winning, it's a lot easier to say, let's give him time. He's a young guy. Let him play through the troubles. He'll figure it out. This is a guy who succeeded a couple of years ago when he came up in his brief major league experience. This is a guy who did miss all of last year, but he looked great in spring training. We think he can hit. Sweeney even made the comment yesterday, hey, before Sanchez and before Judge, there was a point where you looked at Greg Bird and said he's the best offensive prospect in the Yankee farm system. And that's all great. And you want to be patient. And it's easy to be patient when you're 15-7. But he's now hitting 100. That's 100 makes Curtis Granderson look good. And any Met fan will tell you he can't hit the backside of the barn. The question is, when do you do something? And what is something? Is it benching him? That probably doesn't do him any good in the major leagues. Are you going to sit him for Chris Carter and just have him ride the pine? Or do you send him back to AAA where he can get his confidence back? I think that's where it ends up if he doesn't start hitting. But I think the real question is, at what point do you say, all right, he struggled enough. Let's get him to AAA and get his confidence back. Because it's one thing to be hitting 205 or 220. It's another thing to be hitting 100, which is where he's at right now. And he is really, really struggling. I get they don't have the greatest alternative in the world, though Chris Carter did lead the league in home runs last year. We're not talking about chopped liver over there. And I know there's this feeling that you want to give him as much of a crack as possible because you look at him as the future. And this is a season, despite the great start, that is mostly about the future. But there's going to come a time, and I think if they start losing games consistently or just losing games more than obviously they were for a while, the cries are going to get louder and louder, and it's going to be a much more difficult decision. Brian Cashman said the other day, I think to MLB.com, we have no plans on sending him down. That was 3 days ago. If he continues to struggle, when does it end? Just looking at the rotation that they face over the next couple days, they face a couple of righties. I think they do get John Lester over the weekend. I think that's the Sunday night game, if I'm not mistaken. I got to double check on that. I'm not sure when he's going to pitch. So they do have a bunch of righties. You figure Bird at least stays in the lineup because if he's here, he's in the lineup. But I think that's going to be an interesting thing to follow coming up over the next couple of weeks. As far as the Mets are concerned, it was a good night in that they won. And I'm happy about that. But here's what I'm worried about. I'm worried about Robert Gesellman because Robert Gesellman, and I said this yesterday, is now a huge piece on this team. Because Noah Syndergaard, look, we could sit here all day and we could debate what Sandy Alderson said yesterday, which I think is a lot of BS. The doctors told us one thing has nothing to do with the other. It's just a crazy coincidence now, isn't it? And we could sit here all day analyzing, did they do this right? Did they do this wrong? Here's the bottom line. Noah Syndergaard's not here, and he's not walking through that door anytime soon. When he comes back, it's probably going to be August. That's probably what you're looking at. I think mid-July if you're lucky. Where are the Mets at that point? Are they fighting for a second wild card spot? Are they fighting for the division, or are they dead? Where are they? And one big thing that's going to go about determining that answer is Robert Gesellman. And Robert Gesellman yesterday was concerning. I get it, he's a ground ball pitcher, and he got a bunch of ground balls, especially early in this game. He didn't strike anybody out in this game. And I'm not saying you got to strike 13 guys out, 12 guys out like Jacob DeGrom, but he wasn't getting a lot of swing and misses. He was given a run early on the leadoff home run by Conforto. He gives it right back. In the fourth inning, the Mets give him a big lead. They say, hey, 6-1, here you go. And he proceeds to slowly but surely start to give that back. And this game gets dicey. I mean, it gets to the point where you're thinking, are they really going to blow this? And give Jose Reyes credit. He gets a big home run. And certainly give major credit to Addison Reed, Jerry Blevins, and even J-Riz Familia, who scared you a little bit by giving up the leadoff hit, but then he got the hard hit double play to win the game. But Robert Gesellman now becomes a big deal. Zach Wheeler now becomes a big deal. And yeah, Rafael Montero, when he enters this rotation, now becomes a big deal to go along with Matt Harvey and Jacob DeGrom. The thing about Harvey is he was so bad in his last start, and it's very easy to say, look, he had no notice. He wasn't ready to make that start. He had a heavy workout the day before, which, by the way, who wants to hear about any Met pitcher working out heavily now after what happened with Noah Syndergaard? But you're always, you know, you're not fully sold on Harvey yet. And it's not just his last start, it's last year. And it's only been a month into this season. And he doesn't need to be, quote unquote, Dark Knight Matt Harvey. He just needs to give you 6-7 innings every 5 days and pitch well. Doesn't have to be the most dominant pitcher in baseball, but with Noah Syndergaard out, if the Mets are going to recover from this, if they're going to survive this, if they are going to be in a postseason race or a divisional race when Noah Syndergaard returns, Every one of these guys in this rotation needs to step up. Every one of them. And Matt Harvey, yeah, he's one of them too. But that's my concern from last night. Look, the Mets have won three out of their last four games, and that's a good thing. And it feels like this offense is starting to click. And you got to love the fact that Jose Reyes seems like he's starting to hit. Even in the second inning, he hit that deep fly ball to right center field. Inciarte, who defensively kills the Mets, made a great play. And he hit the ball hard in the fifth inning. And obviously, it's that home run. So I think Reyes is certainly a major positive. Jay Bruce has hit the ball well. Michael Conforto has been great. And at least for now, you don't have to worry about is Michael Conforto going to play. Not only does he play every day, he is your leadoff hitter. Period. End of discussion. So, offensively, they're coming alive. Addison Reed bounced back. Familia bounced back. But the strength of this team is supposed to be the rotation. And with Syndergaard out and Matt's out and Lugo to a degree. I mean, the only reason I say Lugo to a degree is when you envision the Met rotation, you envision Lugo as depth. You don't envision him as one of the guys. You envision Steven Matz as one of the guys. You envision Noah Syndergaard as one of the guys. But with the depth being tested right now, other areas have to step up. And I think the one thing that gives me confidence is that a year ago, they got ravaged by injuries all the way around, and they survived it. And did they benefit from a bad National League? Absolutely. That's how they made the playoffs. They made the playoffs because they played well down the stretch, and the rest of the league wasn't very good. And you could say the same thing this year. I'm talking about the second wild card spot or the first wild card spot, not the division. But they're starting to play better. That's a positive. But Robert Gsellman hasn't been good. And, you know, Gary Cohn made this comment on the broadcast last night, and he's right. Robert Gsellman's not going anywhere as long as he's healthy. Like, you don't have that option to say, hey, he's struggling. Mets should send him down. Their depth is gone. All gone. And that's why Sandy Alderson right now, after trying to sell that, hey, these things aren't related, he's got to find arms. Whether it's Doug Fister or Tim Lincecum, whoever he wants to come up with, they need to find arms because their depth is completely gone.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.